Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
Well, we've been in 1st and 2nd Peter, and we've been titled What Matters Most, and really, Peter is just, in these two letters, he just lays it out. Section by section, we've been going through this. This is week 7, hard to believe we're already there, but he is just telling believers who are scattered, and really believers today, because we can sure glean from all of this, but what matters most? He was sensing it was getting to be the end of his time here on earth, and you know, just like any of us, if we knew the time was near, we would try to say everything we needed to say, we'd try to tie up loose ends and tighten it all up in a bow, and that's really what 1st and 2nd Peter does. And so I've just been enjoying this. I hope you have too, and I know you've had some great discussions in life groups in regards to what we've been preaching each week, and just what a phenomenal thing the Word of God is. Amen? What a phenomenal thing. It's how it can be so ancient yet hit us right here today. Many of you know that I love to play in my backyard with my mini skidster, and it's really just an adult version of a Tonka truck in a sandbox, but I loved that as a kid. I love to move dirt and rocks and create landscaping or tear out old trees and grind the stumps down or plant new trees, just doing whatever, making up stuff to do. And sometimes my wife gets tired of me making up stuff, but I just enjoy it. I enjoy being outside. I enjoy playing down there. And I love running the mini skid. It just gets the farm kid thing going in me. It kind of scratches that itch a little bit. And like anything you do for hours and hours, you become a little more skilled at it. How many know what I'm talking about? You do something long enough, you actually get good at it. And you even get some confidence that goes along with it. But I have to admit, there have been multiple times when my confidence in working with the mini skid and moving the dirt and all that kind of stuff, it kind of gets me into trouble. Multiple times. I don't even want to count. Multiple times when I'm confidently working the dirt with my skills. That's the soil is maybe just a little too wet. The clay is a little too sticky or mucky and even a bit too sandy. And that's when my confidence gets the better of me and I found myself incredibly stuck. I've gotten that thing buried. It's a forepaw, and I've got it so buried that I didn't know how I was going to get it out. And it's way down below, so it's not like you can just drive a pickup down there, although you can. I mean, it's just not easy. You got to wait till it dries up and all that, blah, blah, blah. But it's not easy to get out. I even attached what are those things called? Those winches or whatever? Whatever it is. I hooked it up and hooked all to it. You guys are laughing. It's fine. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I got all hooked up, and I'm like, this is going to be great, because every time I get stuck, I can just pull myself right out. Well, I broke that thing, because it got me out about 4 times, and then it was just, that was it. I busted it. I never got stuck because I planned to get stuck. I never went down there like, I'm going to get stuck today. I'm going to waste a bunch of time, wear out my body trying to dig out. And you know you don't ask for help because it's too embarrassing that you got stuck in the first place, right? It was always because I went just a few too many inches into what I was into. Just went a little too far into that mucky clay, went a little too far into that sand pit or that sandy area. And inch by inch, compromise by compromise, our confidence turns into carelessness and we can become stuck. And that's spiritually just how the enemy works, right? Nobody wakes up planning to drift away from the Lord. But inch by inch, compromise by compromise, our confidence turns into carelessness, and we get unbelievably stuck. Peter warns believers that there are voices, even from within the church, that can pull us off solid ground and into spiritual quicksand. And that's what he's talking about in verse 1 through 22 in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And I believe that's why he writes with such urgency in this chapter. He says, guard your heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, guard your heart. Because when you drop your guard, lies will sound like truth. And destruction will feel like freedom. So I'm going to go through this scripture, these 22 verses, and we're just going to pull out a couple of things. Number one, point one, guard against destructive voices. Guard against destructive voices. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, referring to Old Testament believers, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly induce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. This is Peter warning that we need to guard our heart against destructive voices. And when he says that there will be false teachers among you, understand, you just have to realize he's talking about that how they can come from inside the church, from among you. He says they don't just start with open rebellion, they secretly induce destructive heresies. False teachers don't always look like wolves, you know? They often appear to be sheep. And Jesus taught us this. He said in Matthew 7:15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. These false teachers use language dripping with grace and even quote scripture out of context. They are used by the devil as pawns, and you know, you guys know, he's so deceptive, the devil. He doesn't come at you with a full-on attack. He often doesn't even try to destroy your faith outright. He dilutes the truth with little lies, drop by drop, till you get wrapped in and up in doctrines, in the doctrines of these false teachers, and find yourself further from Jesus than you ever thought you'd be. You know, if I were to give you a glass of water and tell you, it's 99% pure water. Go ahead and drink it. Would you drink it? Most of you probably would ask, well, what's the other 1%? And if I said, well, it's fine. It's just 1% pure poison, 99% pure water. Would you shrug your shoulders and drink it anyway? Or say, I probably won't drink that. False teachings work the same way. It's just enough truth to disguise the death that they cause. So how do you guard against these destructive voices? You got to know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. I can say it again. Know the Word of God. Amen. You have to know the Word of God. You have to be able to interpret it. It needs to be read and studied, meditated on, and understood. Just because a teacher or preacher... Boy, I'm really being hard on me today, I guess. Just because a teacher or preacher inspires you when they speak doesn't mean that what they are saying is biblically sound. You have to know what the Word of God says. You have to know. You have to know. You know, I'm sorry I'm going to do this. I'm going to apologize before I do it. But some people come to church and they're just like little baby birds in a nest and they're like, ah. And they want the pastor to like eat the word and they're like, wah, and feed them. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous, but people do it all the time. Why don't you read the word yourself, come to church, and then the word will come even more alive. That's how it's supposed to work. I'm not supposed to feed you like you're a baby bird. That's just gross. You have to know what the Word of God says. You have to know. There's no shortcut for this. Doesn't mean, there's no cliff notes for the Bible, right? You just have to get into the Word of God yourself. You also, how do you guard your heart against destructive voices? You have to guard your gates. What do I mean by that? Your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. Guard your gates. You got to filter what's shaping your beliefs, what you watch, what you listen to, and even what you say can begin to affect how you believe or what you believe. You got to guard this thing. You know, if you say something over and over and over and over and over and over and over, it might just start happening. Do you know that if you listen to the wrong stuff long enough, it starts to change who you are? If you look upon things long enough, it can rot you from the inside out if it's the wrong stuff. Guard the gates. That's how you guard against these destructive voices. And we should also pray for discernment constantly. We need to become skilled in listening to the Holy Spirit as he leads us into all truth. Discernment is not just intellect. It's spiritual sensitivity. Understand that. It's not just being smart. It's spiritual sensitivity. If it sounds off and there's a check in your spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to confirm the truth. And by the way, truth will never contradict Scripture. Because Scripture is the truth. We've got to guard against destructive voices, even when they're from within the church. And oftentimes, that's the ones that trip us up. Point two, guard against corrupt desires. Peter goes on and he speaks of the judgment that will come upon these false teachers and those that follow their ways in verse 4 through 10. And then he lays out how these teachers appeal to the flesh of anyone who will listen to them. And I'm not going to read all the scripture 4 through 10, but let's pick it up at chapter 2, verse 10, 10b, the second part of that verse, and we'll read through 15. He says, "Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment upon them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they too will perish." Peter doesn't like false teachers very much, does he? "They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done." Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you, pulling you in. "With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, in a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness." False teachers appeal to the fleshly desires of greed, pride, and pleasure. When a heart becomes led by its fleshly appetites instead of the Holy Spirit, deception and lies find a really comfortable home. And when the heart stops craving God, sin doesn't look dangerous anymore. It looks acceptable. It even looks desirable. Peter is saying that it's not just about what you hear, it's about what you want. Yeah, guard what you listen to, the voices that you hear, sure, but guard those desires within your heart. Those things that you want. Test what you want against the Word of God. If your desires are drifting towards fleshly gratification rather than a deeper relationship with Christ, it's time to make some corrective adjustments in your life. Your desires should align with God's will, right? How do you guard against these corrupt desires? I can't say it enough, so I'll say it again. Read the Word. You wonder why so many Christians are in trouble? They don't know the Word of God. They just don't. They don't read it. They just, you know, if they're lucky, they go to church and get the mama bird feeding them kind of thing. Very few open that Bible up. And yet, right now, in our country, Bible sales are exploding. There's this younger generation that says, "I don't want to be told what I believe. I'm going to figure it out myself, and I'm going to get in the Word myself." And it's a revolution that's happening right now. It's revival, really. More Bibles were sold in September than in a long time. It's awesome. Read the Word. You have to understand that it's more than a book. Jesus is the Word in the flesh. It's supernatural. It's the manual for our lives. And like the psalmist said, hide it in your heart so that you won't sin against God. Hiding the Word of God in your heart will absolutely change your desires, by the way. My favorite verse, probably of all time, is Psalm 37:4. It's why we had it at our wedding. Alyssa and I. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That seems like a great verse, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I got a lot of desires in my heart, right? But we forget we have to delight ourselves in the Lord first. You know why? Because this verse isn't about getting everything you want. This verse is about aligning your desires with God's desires. Not personal indulgence. It means that we will, when we delight in him, our wants begin to change and they start lining up with his. You could say it this way: when your joy is in Jesus, temptation loses its pull. And I think that's true. In guarding against corrupt desires, it's important to watch your emotions and your offenses as well. This is another way to guard against corrupt desires. Watch your emotions and your offenses. False teachers love to prey on hurt hearts and offended spirits. They love it. It's great ground for their lies. False teaching alone is not the reason that people are pulled away from Christ. It usually starts when someone becomes bitter or hurt, especially when that offense comes from the church. I don't know how many times I've heard in the last, a couple of years that, I have a lot of church hurt. No one's denying that that hurt's not real. But if you live with that church hurt always as your kind of like your badge, that could be a problem. People are always going to hurt you, by the way. Have you figured that one out? Should they? No, but they're going to. So you have a choice. You can walk and not be offended, or try not to be offended. Try not to live with offense. It's also good not to be offensive everywhere you go. Just throw that in there for a good measure. Some of you are never offended, but you're always offensive. I get that too. But if we can not live in that realm of offense and being offended and having our emotions crushed, if we can give that to God and be free of it, it leaves less ground for those false teachers and really ultimately the devil to plant those lies. Wounded hearts always hear deceptive voices more easily. So a great way to guard your heart against corrupt desires is to forgive quickly and keep your emotions in check. You know, if only we could pray first and feel second, wouldn't that be great? Respond under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and not just react in the flesh. And I guess we will always have something to work on. I mean, can anybody relate with that? I'm probably always going to have to work on that. I think we all do. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Everything you do flows from it. Yeah, you got to guard against deceptive, destructive voices, and yeah, you got to guard against the corrupt desires from within you. And point three, you got to guard against empty promises. Guard against empty promises. 2 Peter 2, 17 through 22 says this, "These people are springs." He's talking about false prophets. "These people are springs without water." False teachers, false prophets. "Springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are enslaved or are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse at the end than they were at the beginning. It would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them." These are pretty tough words, guys. "Of them the Proverbs are true, a dog returns to his vomit." You ever seen a dog puke? Goes right back and eats it. Make you all hungry for lunch today. "And a sow that is washed returns to wallowing in the mud." Anybody ever wash a 4-H pig for the fair? Nobody? I mean, raise them hand. That's a proud day, right? I had to do it. It wasn't my pig. It was the farmer's granddaughter who I worked for, and then I had to wash the pig up, and she got all the accolades, and then the pig came back home and wallowed in the mud. And seemed like an exercise in futility, but it's a great picture. Peter describes these false teachers as springs without water. A spring without water is heartbreaking. I mean, it promises refreshment but delivers dust. Right? It's a picture of sin. It whispers freedom in your ear, but leaves you enslaved and shackled. So there's a few lies. I was thinking about this, and there's a few lies that I've heard that sound really good, but they're not fully true. There's truth in them. But when no context is given, or you have an inability to apply them to the right situation, they become like that glass of water that's 99% pure with 1% poison. Here's some of them. Do what feels right. You're under grace, not rules. If God didn't want this to be part of your life, then why did he allow it? Just imagine what you could do for God if you chased that opportunity. You hear the little bit of mistruth in there? In all those? You deserve to be happy. Oh, I've heard that one a lot. I get to be happy. I can choose to be happy, but do I really deserve it? God just wants you to be true to yourself. Actually, he would prefer obedience, by the way. Nobody's perfect. God understands you. This is true. Nobody is perfect, and God does understand you. But that could lead to spiritual laziness if you don't put that in the right context. Because God understands my struggles, he's okay with my choices. As long as your heart's in the right place, God's fine with it. No one should tell you what's right or wrong. That's between you and God. Love is love as long as it's sincere. Some of you are like going, ew. You only live once. Make the most of it. Could be true. That could be a terrible bit of advice, depending on what you're talking about. Don't let anyone judge you. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Don't let anyone judge you. Do you know that I want people to judge me? As Christians, we should want each other to judge one another so that we can push each other to better works. If a brother came to me and said, you know, you're acting pretty arrogant lately and you need to change, I'll say, well, let's talk about that. Am I acting arrogant? I might check my spirit. I might check my heart. And that would be a good thing, especially if it was from a brother or even a sister that I highly respect. Those are good things, but those are judgments. If it makes you happy, it can't be wrong. See, they all sound comforting, even spiritual, but they all carry just a little bit of poison, especially if motives are wrong. They're empty promises wrapped in spiritual-sounding phrases. They all lead to the same deception, that sin is relatively harmless, holiness is personal and kind of optional, and truth is flexible because it's relative to the individual. I'm here to tell you today, truth is not flexible. Truth is absolute, and it comes from Jesus Christ and him alone, and we either come underneath of it and submit to it, or we don't. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. It's impossible to honor God while continually and knowingly compromising the truth of the Word of God. So, yeah, get you right back to the Word again. You know, there was a traveler, and he was crossing a very wide desert, and his canteen was empty, and his throat was raw from the heat. And just when he thought he couldn't go any farther, he saw it. He saw a shimmering oasis in the distance. There was palm trees, water glistening in the sun. It looked perfect. Every step he took, it seemed closer. So he used the last of his strength, and he just sprinted towards it, only to find when he arrived that it wasn't real. There was no water, just hot sand where his hope should have been. He fell to his knees, realizing too late that what looked like life had only led him closer to death. That's what sin and false teaching do. They look like refreshment. They promise satisfaction, freedom, and life. But when you find yourself engulfed by it, you realize it only has emptiness to offer you. It was just a mirage, a spring without water. Remember what Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. And what did Peter say back in verse 17? These people are like springs without water, mists driven by a storm. The world's promises leave you dry, church, but Christ is a living water that truly satisfies. So how do you guard your heart against the enticement of empty promises? Call me a broken record. But when you're in the Word of God, reading the Bible consistently, you will know and realize that His promises are far better than anything that a false teacher could promise. Those promises pale in comparison. And here's another way. Look at the fruit of the false teacher. What fruit is their life displaying, right? And by fruit, I'm talking about the observable outcomes in someone's life. If the promises they are offering sound amazing, what are the results in their life? Apparently, they've been on those promises. They've taken it hook, like in line and sinker as a false prophet or false teacher. They've believed them. Now they want everybody else to. Again, misery loves company, doesn't it? But here's some fruit. A true teacher will display humility. They don't seek praise, fame, or control. They're open to correction and willing to admit mistakes, right? A true teacher will display humility. They'll also display obedience to Scripture. They teach what the Bible actually says, not what's culturally convenient. They practice what they preach. I think that part of the great apostasy in the end times, like when many will fall away from their relationship with Jesus, a lot of it will actually happen because of false teachers who are preaching, I mentioned this, what's culturally convenient. Well, if I say this, it might offend somebody and they might leave. I might lose my job as a pastor or a teacher if I preach what the Bible says and I'm not careful about it. I'm saying be careful as far as preaching the truth, but you better not back off the truth as a preacher. I hope I don't. I don't think I will. They practice what they preach. I had an old guy tell me one time, his name was Ed Cole. Some of you might know that name. I think he was a men's speaker before they had men's ministries, but he was an amazing teacher. And he told me personally one time, I was just starting out in the ministry and I was at a conference and he was speaking and he said, I want to give you some advice. I said, okay, I'll take anything you got. And he's like, never preach what you don't practice first because you'll have no anointing in doing it. And he goes, and I said, I kind of looked confused and he goes, that doesn't leave you much to preach, does it? And I said, you're right. Because how can I stand up here and say I perfectly do this all the time? He goes, well, let me tell you, be transparent about what you're not currently practicing, and that same anointing will come upon you. Practice what you preach, but if you don't practice it yet, be transparent about how you are, who you are in that area, and the anointing will be the same. And I thought, that is great, great, great advice. They practice what they preach. A true teacher will display love and compassion. They care genuinely for people, not just for numbers or influence, but they really care for people. They seek the good of others and are not just engaged in self-promotion. These are fruits of a good teacher. Consistency. Their day-to-day life aligns with their message. They're not different at the pulpit or in front of people teaching than they are over here. In Bible study, you might find somebody who's teaching and or even sharing a lot in the Bible study, or maybe in your life group or whatever, and they sound so spiritual, and then you see them at a restaurant, and they're chewing the waitress out. They live consistently all the time. Their character isn't dependent on their audience or their social media likes. They display the fruit of the Spirit. It's written in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. They have evidence in their life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Their reputation among others, they're respected by other mature biblical leaders. Not continually engulfed in repeated scandals or shady dealings. These are the fruits of a true teacher. They'll display them. What's a false teacher display? Well, greed and the love of money might be one of them. They exploit people for personal gain. They often preach prosperity as the end-all goal of faith. Pride and arrogance, they display that. They intimidate or belittle others. They ignore authority and correction. They don't like correction, won't take it. Sensuality and immorality is another fruit that they'll display. Their life is marked by indulgence or unrepentant sin. They appeal to fleshly desires rather than holiness. deception and hypocrisy. They promise freedom but enslave followers and legalism. Their words and actions just don't match. And then there's division, seems to follow them. They create factions and manipulate people. They continually speak against other leaders or the churches, other churches, to control followers. You know, there's some ministries out there, and I think their only job is to watchdog every other ministry and say how bad they are. I won't listen to them for 2 minutes. Ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Right? Sometimes you just got to go, why doesn't that guy just shut up and win somebody to Jesus? I mean, the only way he could say any less is to keep on talking. Right? Instability and inconsistency. They frequently change doctrines or spiritual positions to suit their audience or their circumstances. Their teachings are just not rooted in Scripture. Those are all fruits of a false teacher. They'll display those kinds of things. And there's more, I'm sure. I just thought of a few of them, some of them that I've seen personally. Guys, this chapter, it's heavy. Peter's words are strong and really do come across as an urgent warning to us all to guard our hearts against false teachers and their seductive doctrines. And if you aren't careful, these types of scriptures can, and this section especially in the Word of God, can make you a little bit paranoid when it comes to sitting under anyone's teaching. Well, maybe it's better, because I don't want to fall underneath someone's false teaching. Maybe I just stay home. Lock the door, don't talk to anybody, and just read the Bible, but just me and God and the Bible. You know, we'll just read it. Because I don't trust anybody. It might make you a little paranoid, even to not want you to be part of a Bible-believing church. But I love what he says in verse 9, and it brings balance to this whole thing. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. You guard your heart, you guard your heart, you don't neglect the fellowship of the believers, you get involved with church, you sit underneath leadership, you listen to good teaching, but you're always aware, you're always listening, you're taking notes, making sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Am I telling you to make sure that I line up with the Word of God? You better believe it. You better believe it. Please do that. And we might have a discussion someday, and you might not like the way I looked at it, or that you looked at it, or I didn't like how you looked at it. And maybe it's but when it comes to like false preaching, like heresy heretical. Yeah, I was heretical. There you go, heretical kind of teachings. I mean, you got to be on guard. You got to look at the people that you sit under and go, what kind of fruit are they displaying? He knows exactly how to rescue us from the trials of this life. He's given us the keys to guarding our heart. He's shown us what to do. We have to guard against destructive voices and that preach falsehoods, voices that preach both inside and outside the church. We have to guard against corrupt desires that entice our flesh. And we must guard against the empty promises of the lies of those false teachers and the sin they are peddling. Church, I believe guarding our hearts should be at the top of our priority list as believers living in these last days. Jesus said this in reference to the last days, Matthew 24:10-12. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. It doesn't say a few, it says many will turn away from the faith. And will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I don't want any of our love for Christ or love for one another to grow cold. Guard our hearts. You know, if we have a thought and it doesn't seem like a godly thought, take it to the cross. If you have a moment of offense, you're offended, go to that person and say, look, I don't want to be offended, and I feel a little bit of offense. And if you're offended that somebody went to you because they were offended, and then they get offended because you were offended that they were offended, and it goes on and on and on, right? I got two words for you. Grow up. Right? Is that mean? Or is that just honest? I mean, we're mature believers, right? Raise your hand if you're a mature believer in Christ. About half of you are, I guess. The other half are so humble, they just don't want to appear to be prideful in their maturity. A bunch of you thought it was a trick question. If we're mature believers in Christ, we ought to be able to talk to one another and say, hey, I felt offended. What did you mean by that? What a great thing to say. What did you mean by that when you said that earlier? Because I got a weird feeling. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Let me give you a little context why I said that. And all of a sudden, it becomes a non-issue, right? We can handle those things. We can do those things. We can live like Christians. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can live like a Christian. Some of you don't like your neighbor, so you didn't do it. But guarding our hearts is so important. Got to be so careful. Those little lies, that little bit of poison can get in there, and it can start creating stuff. Issues of the heart that end up taking down roads that you never thought you'd ever go down. And by the time you're down that road and starting to feel the angst and the suffering and the pain from going down that road, it's not too late. It's just, it takes a while to crawl back out sometimes. God doesn't want us to have to go through that. Let's pray. Father, today we realize through what you wrote through the Apostle Peter, God, that guarding our hearts is important. That being aware of false teachers and prophets and those that would lead us astray, God, that's a real thing. And God, if we're not on guard, if we're not in the Word every single day and we're walking in your truth and in your light every single day, Lord, that can easily, those voices can easily come in. Those corrupt desires can easily bubble up. Those empty promises can become really shiny things that we want real bad. God, we just lay all of it at your feet. We just want you. We want your truth. And in the great words of Kenny Rogers, we want to know when to hold them and fold them and walk away and run. And that's not always easy. Father, we give you ourselves today. And we say, Lord, help us to learn the voice of your Spirit like never before. Give us discerning hearts. Help us not miss a beat, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.